This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Tommy, you're hanging out live at Fritz's Adventure. I didn't get the invite, but it's okay. You get to have all the fun for us up there.
Well, you're just, you know, the last time I brought a co-host here, the level of athletic skill, air quotes, with your predecessor, we may rerun this video now that he's back on to the afternoons with us. Left them a little uneasy. You know, now we brought Nick last time because, you know, well, we all know Nick is the best athlete we have on the show. Him or Tyler? Which one is it? It's one of the two.
It's Nick. Let's just be honest.
Is it Nick?
It's Nick.
Nick may be the best athlete that we have. Certainly not Ty Richardson.
Certainly not.
Certainly not Ty. So we may have to rerun this video on social media. So there was a little concern about whether or not you would be athletic enough to come here to Fritz's Adventure, because the last time the Morning Rush kind of left in shame a little bit.
Well,
just,
I mean,
to be honest with you,
Tommy, I CrossFit, remember?
Like, I know, and you,
whatever
you,
that's worth,
you were in traction for 2 weeks as a result of CrossFit.
Yeah, exactly. Pain is weakness leaving the body. Isn't that the old adage? Something
you
like that.
You have a lot of weakness then. You have a lot of weakness with that back.
Trying to get it all out of there. But so, no,
that was really the concern. I mean, you know, there was committees and boards and regents all met, and they were concerned with your disc issues in your back, that this might be just beyond you. This may be too challenging physically for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily, they can count on you to be all the ones that's doing the physical challenges.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah, there's no question. I can overcome most obstacles.
Oh, you know, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can, especially a double cheeseburger. So, I'm sure you can overcome it all. But, hey.
I've conquered the triple cheeseburger.
There you go. Well, that's the thing.
Extra pickles.
That's the thing is that since you're up there, you know, just, of course, I'm not. But seeing the pictures, seeing the video, seeing all of that, seems like it's something I would enjoy. I know that.
Well, we're going to do this again soon. And we'll just see. You know, we're going to give you ample notice to get in shape. This was kind of a, you know, I don't say last minute, but we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks here with spring break coming. And, you know, so we want to give you ample notice before we return. I think we're going to come back here maybe like in May or just right on the doorstep of summer. So that will give you time to get in shape to do some of the wall climbing and the ropes course and all of the fun family adventures you can do here. Because I don't want you to have any excuses when you arrive as to why you can't complete some of the challenges here.
So. Yeah, well, I understand. Well, I appreciate that. But
so
I,
we're just looking out for you, John.
Yeah, that's you're the best.
So, but you know, speaking of that, people can stop by here in a little bit. We're gonna Krispy Kreme didn't open till 6, so we're gonna have some Krispy Kreme donuts you can come by and check out. But hey, you know, it is spring break, and the good thing about Arkansas spring break next week is that all the schools in Texas are on spring break this week. So all those Texans won't be here next week.
Oh, well, good.
All of us natural staters can come up and enjoy Branson without all those Texas tags rolled around. So we'll get up here. It's busy. I'm going to tell you, there's about three or four weeks where different states have spring breaks, and it's busy right now in Branson. You don't think about March being busy, but it's here yesterday, and it's not summer busy, but it's very active right now. And yesterday was one of those days where it rained. So what are you going to do? You're not going to go to Silver Dollar City. You're not going to go, you know, do a lot of the outdoor stuff. And the temperatures at times, now yesterday was beautiful, sunny and 60 after the rain moved out. But, you know, temperatures can not be, you know, perfect like it can be in the summer. And that's the great thing about Fritz's is you got this indoor adventure park that the whole family can enjoy, rain or shine. And your ticket's good all day. So you can come here when they open at 10. And you can enjoy it all the way till they close at 8, and you can come and go as you please. So if you want to come for a while and go eat lunch and go see a movie, go see a show, come back, you know, you can come and go as you please. So we'll be telling you more. We're going to put some pictures and videos up, and I'm telling you, Dad, I know we got a lot of dads. That's another reason they needed me here, John, because, I mean, other than Rowdy, can you really come from the dog, from the parent angle other than your dog?
I hope not.
You know, they needed an experienced father of three, someone who has felt the pain and frustration of standing in lines and dealing with kids not listening in restaurants and trying to find places for kids to get their energy out, as Mom likes to say. This is the place where the kids can come get their energy out here at Fritz's Adventure. So we're going to be telling you a lot more about it as you plan your spring break next week. We're going to tell you why to come to Branson and see Fritz's Adventure.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that throughout the show. That is for sure. You know, today, though, it's Arkansas basketball plays, which is an early game. Now, here's just give everybody a programming note. We'll remind everybody, you know, halftime with Ty and Phil is going to be from 9 a.m. to 11:30. So Ty gets to do a morning show this morning. Double duty here. So what is that going to be? 5.5 straight hours of radio for Ty. So congratulations,
man. I live
man.
For this.
Yeah, this is exactly. Just inject it into your veins when it comes to sports talk radio.
Pour it all over me.
So, and the reason we're doing that is because of the Razorback basketball game today against Florida in their first matchup against Florida in the SEC tournament, where it will be a tip-off at noon, but 11:30 will be the broadcast time here on the station. So this comes down to this, where the team is playing better. We know that they've won on a 3-game winning streak. I feel like we've heard that they've been playing better. They've been up and down. They go on a winning streak. They go on a losing streak. They go on a winning streak. It seems like it's all over the place. But it comes down to this. If Arkansas loses today against Florida, is that their final game of the season, Tommy?
No. I am confident that Arkansas is going to get an NIT bid. I mean, I believe that the way they ended the season puts them in the field, and the fact that I believe the SEC is going to get seven teams in probably leaves, what, Arkansas, Alabama, maybe South Carolina at this point are teams that I think the NIT will look hard at. Those are teams, I think when they fill out that field of 32, they're going to be looking for teams that you know, it's still a business. At the end of the day, it's not the NCAA tournament. And I know it's run a little bit different than it was, say, 10 years ago, but I do think SEC teams that have played and have net rankings as high as Arkansas is going to have when you eliminate all the other teams left in that aren't going to be in the NCAA field, I think Arkansas is going to be well within those 32 teams that have earned a bid. I mean, if you just look at the metrics. So eliminate the teams that are probably going to the NCAA tournament out of the net rankings, and Arkansas is going to be one of the – certainly one of the best 30 teams that are in there. And then you take regular season champions that are going to get a place on the bracket automatically in the NIT, and I really think there's a spot for Arkansas left.
See, I guess I'm leaning towards the other way. I think 17-15, which would be Arkansas's overall record, I don't know if that's even enough to get them into the NIT. I think that it depends, again, like you kind of mentioned and alluded to, of how many teams from the SEC get into the NCAA tournament.
Right.
But say if, you know, by Florida winning today, and then if they won tomorrow, would they be a team that then gets into the SEC or NCAA tournament? What about Alabama? They're still on the border there. They're still a bubble team. What do they need to do? Well, I think the more teams that get into the SEC or from the SEC get into the NCAA tournament, it's going to be helpful for Arkansas's chances, of course. But it's
and
just
what happens with South Carolina, a team that earned a double bye, a top four seed, but their season record, what is it, 16-16 or something like that? I mean, they're hanging right around 500 because they played terrible in November and December. So, but they played great in conference play. So, you know, what I'm going to be intrigued to see what the committee does with South Carolina.
Yeah, and if you're a South Carolina fan, could you imagine how frustrating that must be? Where you're the fourth team in the SEC, you had a great SEC run, but you're going to get out of it. It's almost like when Arkansas in football went 7-5 that year, but went 5-3 in conference play. When they lost to Toledo and Texas Tech. It's like you look back in the season, it's like, okay, that was good, but it should have been a lot better. How in the world was it not better? It just got to be frustrating.
If Arkansas is not going to win the SEC tournament, if that doesn't happen, I guess if you're the league and maybe some of these other teams in the league, South Carolina winning, it'd be probably pretty good for teams just trying to get into the postseason. Mm-hmm. I think if you're Arkansas, the only way to get to the NCAA tournament is obviously win this whole thing in Nashville. So to take another SEC NIT team off the board, you'd probably want maybe Florida or South Carolina to win this thing in Nashville. I guess if you're looking at it from the standpoint, and that's honestly where the program's at, how do you get into the NIT? I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, because South Carolina, you mentioned they're 16-15 overall, by the way. But say if they won one game and they go 17-15, that's kind of going to be a weird setup, right? If they're going to be picking an NCAA tournament team from the SEC that went 17-15, it's just going to look different. Now, I'm not disagreeing with it, but that's kind of the crazy thing that's going on with the SEC right now. Joe Lunardi, as of right now, has seven teams from the SEC in his bracket, He could have one more. And if you could you imagine this conference getting eight teams into the NCAA tournament where just a few years ago they got barely three because one of them was a play-in game. I mean,
but if South Carolina, you're saying if South Carolina, what were you saying a second ago about a 17? Were you talking about Arkansas?
No. I was talking about South Carolina, just how strange would it be if they got into the NCAA tournament.
Okay, well, they,
by just being, if they won today or won tomorrow, for instance, and then they that ended up being all they had, so they went 17, I guess, and 16 would be the record because they have a loss. And then they get into the NCAA tournament. Not saying it's wrong, but it would just look weird when you see all these records and then you see one team, a team that's one game over 500 that didn't win their conference into the NCAA tournament. All
right. I got you. The record confused me. But to me, what's the committee supposed to do? What's the job? I think it's to put the best teams in the field and that, you know, you got the automatic bids, but put the best available teams in the tournament. And I think you got to judge what is best. Is it best over the body of work of the season or best in how you're playing over the last 6 weeks of the season or so? South Carolina fits the description over the last 6 weeks, but is that fair and equitable to everybody else? That's a tough job the committee's got to evaluate when teams do that. You're not going to find a lot of teams that have had a season like South Carolina where they've just been Jekyll and Hyde so much.
Tommy, and it seems like just like the college football playoff, the surrounding what they decide who gets in changes every year. I know this year they're using the net rankings, but you never have a solid foundation of this is going to get you into the tournament because it changes every single year.
So if you're a coach and a program out here, you're trying to hit a moving target sometimes when you're not squarely in, when you're not this year in the SEC, a Tennessee, a Kentucky, an LSU type team, you're somewhat trying to hit a moving target.
Yeah, so, a lot of cases.
And you've got to hit this moving target 2 or 3 years in advance because is it about scheduling great teams that you're going to go play on the road in non-conference play? Is it about non-conference opponents? What is it about this year? Is it about road wins in conference play? Is it about defending the home court? What is it they're going to value the most this year?
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I wanted to bring up this thing because I know we've been talking a lot about Arkansas basketball and their game against Florida today at noon. But something I wanted to bring up is that USA Today came out with the latest update of coaches' salaries. And I think that these are always fascinating, whether it's college football or college basketball, just to see not only the money that they're making from the school, but any other incentives or bonuses. And this list actually includes all the buyouts for coaches. So if they were fired or whatnot, or if they left for another job, it lists the buyouts for them as well. Just, I don't know if you guys were able to see the article or anything like that, but could you take a ballpark guess of where Mike Anderson ranks among coaches this year in salary pay of all college basketball coaches?
Top 50, but okay. I'd say between 30 and 40 or 30 and 45. The big deal, and people continue to push your salary up and up and up. So first it's like, oh, he's top 20. Then it's like, oh, he's top 15. Ah, he's top 10. A lot of times those lists that you just type in, the top basketball coaches, a lot of people are not included on that list for whatever reason. But yeah, he hadn't been in the top 20, how people like to say, for a little while now.
Yeah. Well, just to give you the list of it, they're 39. Or Mike Anderson's 39 in coaches' base. So you pretty much hit it right there. And what's crazy about it is that's ninth in the SEC. It's almost like a recruiting ranking for Arkansas football. But, I mean, that's what's crazy because you think about it, he's one of the...
But that's recent. I mean, that's changed in the last 3 years.
Right.
So, as they probably... Because Mike Anderson was a top five paid coach in this league 4 years ago.
Right.
5 years ago.
When you had Rick Ray and Johnny Jones. They're
well,
making
before
the same
league,
much as I,
before the
as
league
I
was investing in basketball the way it is now.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
And what's crazy is that Arkansas is with Mike Anderson's at 39th, 40th is Will Wade at LSU, and then 41st is Ole Miss with Kermit Davis. So, I mean, even two teams that are right under them, they're pretty much right there in the same stratosphere. In fact, Mike Anderson just makes $50,000 more this year than Will Wade and Kermit Davis. So they're right there in the mix of things. But I think that shows a bunch of different things. For one, just how the SEC and how they're really invested in trying to get better coaches into the conference. Because, listen, you got to pay for quality most of the time. Now, that's not to say some of these coaches aren't overpaid. For instance, Avery Johnson, who's sitting at 19th, he's making over $3 million this year. For Avery Johnson. So some people would say that, you know, he's overpaid. And there's even people that are outside of the conference, like Shaka Smart of Texas is making over 3.2. So, you know, I think it's interesting always to see where they're at. But, you know, when people bring up the Mike Anderson thing of how much he's getting paid and he's getting paid more to do this, that, and the other, right here, at least right at this current moment, unless something crazy changes, he's not even in the top half of the SEC. And for all that, seeing some of the coaches and where they're at, some people may say he's underpaid.
No, yeah. I don't think anybody will say that. But okay, so now he's top 40, and I think it was more of the number, because everybody always goes, oh, he's making 2.5. Oh, he's making 2.5. I don't think that they necessarily look at where that ranks in the SEC or where that ranks in the nation. But now that you know he's 40th or 39th, does that change the narrative of his success or you know, the amount of success that he has or hasn't had? Because that's been something that a lot of people have screamed about, is, oh, well, Arkansas is not a top 25 team and they're paying top 25 money. I probably have heard that more than I've heard any other complaint, is Arkansas is a top 25, or Arkansas is paying top 25 money and they're not consistently a top 25 team. Because I know there was that stat that came out, Arkansas has been ranked in the top 25 6% of the time that you know, that Mike Anderson's been the head coach.
But okay, so if you gave Mike Anderson another million a year, does he become a better coach? If you move him from 39th to 19th on that list, does he become a top 20 coach? Just
no.
I mean, that people, you can't, and the point is, don't confuse what these are. Now, what you want is value for your money. What you want is Mike Anderson to be a top 20 coach for 39th pay. That's really what you want.
Well,
but in the end, and that's what anyone would want in any business, right? Get the most for the least. But in the end, you've got to outperform your salary to get your salary in line with your performance. And this is just a measuring stick for coaches and agents to use to say, listen, my client here, my coach here is performing at a top 20 level, and this works in both directions, but he's not getting top 20 pay. It's all this is a measuring stick. Well, right now, Mike Anderson's performing with about his salary.
I don't know, but so well,
I mean, yeah, what do you
so
not know about?
So maybe this year, but in general, though, I mean, he's outperforming 9th in the league. But now I know that the response to that will. But the response to that is, well, 3 years ago, he wasn't 9th in the league. And I can understand that, too. So this year, has he performed about where his salary is? Well, yeah, sure. I mean, Arkansas
is the 9th seed in the SEC.
Seed in the SEC. I know it's not as easy as that, but but he's the 9th seed in the SEC. But just in general, though, if you're looking at it like, hey, Mike is 39 in the country and he's 9th in the SEC, I do think that he has outperformed that.
Wouldn't sports be fun if they just said, all right, the coach's salaries in the SEC, the number one coach gets
this
$6 million.
Yeah,
number two gets $5.5 million. And you just go down the list, and then we're going to assign your salary based on your performance at the end of the year.
That's actually
wouldn't that make sports a lot more fun? You could carry that to quarterbacks in the NFL. You could carry that on to you know, a lot of different places. Hey, you earn your keep, because guess what? The rest of us in life have to earn our keep. Yeah. We all work on commission in one way or another. Well, but coaches don't always work on commission.
Well, I'm trying to think. Isn't there a coach that's out there that makes a certain amount of money per win? Like he gets a win bonus throughout the season. Like here's $50,000 for a win or something like that. I know that that's been done before. It's not very common.
Well,
I think it'd be awesome if they made that comment.
I'm not sure about that, but who's the coach at PA? What's the coach of PA's
Kelly
name? Yeah, I remember him doing a radio interview and somebody
I remember that too,
and him talking about being like the offensive coordinator here in Arkansas and saying, "Don't pay me anything. Pay me $100,000 a win, or pay me $50,000 a win, or something or something along those lines." And he was like, "Hey, I'll bet on myself. We don't win any games. You don't pay me any money." And now that would be yes.
What a perfect
that
world.
That would be very, very interesting. I know this. We'd have a lot of leftover money from the football season this past year. Yeah, we're paying per wins.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly would. So that's like I said, perfect world. That scenario would play out, but I think we all
could
can.
You, but hold on, could you just imagine that? Like, if you go on a losing streak, so Arkansas lost.
So like, say Bryce Drew at Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. He didn't have a chance, but Arkansas loses 6 games in a row, right?
Yeah.
After winning a few games and being right there towards the top of the conference. You're talking about losing like you know, $2.5-3 million right there. Because you go from being top 4 or 5 now to dropping down to possibly playing the first day of the SEC tournament. Yeah, I think there will be a lot more on the line. And it just will be a lot more interesting as you track different things. Okay, who finishes 1, like the end of this season or whatever. 1, 2, and 3 was up in the air up until the final week,
mm-hmm.
where then it went bang, bang, bang. And so now if you're Tennessee, or who ended up getting 3 seed? Was it Tennessee or Kentucky?
It was Kentucky, I think.
Talking about last year?
No, this year.
This year.
The 3 seed.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, they're 3 seed.
Yeah. And so now if you're Coach Cal, at one point in time, you're like, okay, I'm about to get this $9 million. I'm about to blah, blah, blah. And then you lose a couple of games, and now you go from $9 million to $6 million or $9 million to $7 million. So that's never going to happen, but that would be that'd be a cool thing for sports.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Let's go to the phone lines. We're now joined by Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Talk a little recruiting with him. Good morning, Richard. How's it going this morning, man?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, as always, appreciate you coming on. And you know, there's a few things I want to get to, and obviously there's a few things that's happened this past week. And I want to start with Jonesboro, Jasad Stewart, who had committed to Arkansas. He's a defensive end. He's part of the 2020 class. We didn't really get to touch much on it because we were waiting to get you on to explain a little more. But this guy, what do you know about him? I know Arkansas is always looking like they're getting defensive linemen out of the wazoo. But what do you know about this player? What do you know about his specialty? Just overall, what you think about his commitment to Arkansas?
I tell you what, discount his offer list, not the most impressive. I said this about Jalen Catalan. He had one of the most impressive safety films I've ever seen. Jashawn Stewart has one of the most impressive defensive end films I've seen. He is so sudden, explosive, and I call him violent because once he's off the ball into the offensive lineman and into the running back, whoever's trying to block him, it's a sight to see. And then he's just so sudden to the ball carrier. I think he has a chance to be a special player on the next level. Obviously, you know, a lot has to happen between now and then to achieve that. But he's got the capabilities of he just has that speed and the explosiveness and suddenness that you just don't see. Now, he is about 6'2", about 224 right now. You hope he grows maybe another inch or two, and he'll obviously add weight if he stays at defensive end. But he's a guy that could also possibly play at outside linebacker on the next level. But, he doesn't have the idea, you know, height and weight right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, Trey Flowers and Chris Smith, both of those guys are kind of undersized. They're doing pretty good in the NFL right now.
Well, that was something that I was thinking about when they had this commitment, because obviously their recruiting class from this past year in 2019 was really solid on the defensive line. We know the amount of players they got. And you're talking about guys like Steve Caldwell and John Chavis, very experienced, very veteran defensive coaches, and do a really good job in recruiting and analyzing talent. So when I see this, it's like, okay, you mentioned the offer list. That's what was my first reaction. But at the same time, like, this is Steve Caldwell. This is John Chavis. And this is the same squad that got a great defensive class. So obviously they see something in this kid that maybe some other schools don't see just yet. But I got to put my faith and my trust in Steve Caldwell and this defensive staff.
Well, just look at his film, and I promise you, you'll be impressed.
That's the way to do it. Another thing that happened was Arkansas getting a transfer from Arizona State, the running back, Traylon Smith. Now, he won't be playing this year because he does have to sit out a year according to NCAA rules. But what do you know about this? Was this something that's been in the works? Were they looking to add a running back? Just your overall thoughts on him coming to Arkansas.
Well, I mean, it gives him a more experienced guy. After next year, you lose Dev Wall, you know, he'll just have a chance to come in and obviously add depth. Now he wasn't the most highly recruited kid coming out of high school. He's a 3-star prospect, but he's kind of a little bit different than what they got. Maybe comparing maybe to a little bit of a Chase Hayden, a smaller back, about 5'9", about 190 pounds. Chase is actually over 200 pounds right now, but he's more of a scat back type. Could get him out, you know, in the open field, you know, put him at slot maybe at times too. So gives you a little bit of versatility.
Speaking with Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Richard, just as far as visits go, guys they're looking at, maybe some offers that they made, what's just the overall status of the recruiting realm for Razorback football?
Well, I mean, they had a huge day on Saturday, approximately 70 kids on campus, and it was one of the most impressive, if not the most impressive, one day of kids being on campus that I've ever seen, probably in school history. They had a ton of kids that had Power 5 offers and several kids that are obviously very, very highly recruited. You had Aaron McLaughlin that is a 2021 quarterback who actually was mentioned on 60 Minutes several years ago because he's a kind of a phenom as far as first two offers that he received came in the seventh grade. So he's one of those guys that is nationally known and has got offers for most of the big schools in the country. That was his second visit. He visited back in the summer, and I think Arkansas is in very good shape with him. He said he has very high interest. So and obviously he's the teammate of Arkansas receiver commitment, Xavier Capers. So I think that plays well for Arkansas. But no, it was a very, very good weekend. You got Shashawn jumping on board, and I think you're going to see several other guys that visited over the weekend also become Razorbacks at some point.
Richard, I always have to ask you about the quarterbacks because that's what really everybody cares about, it seems like. But, you know, this year, you have Ben Hicks as a senior. Nick Starkel's going to be a junior. Then next year, you would assume that it might be Starkel's job. Just how they're setting up with depth, you'll still have KJ Jefferson. You'll still have Connor Noland. You know that they're looking at Chandler Morris and possibly getting him on. I just find it fascinating on how certain coaches recruit quarterbacks because we know under the previous regime, there's Brett Bielema and his staff always said that they just wanted one quarterback per class, and it seemed like the class started getting filled up and the room started getting filled up and he had some transfers. What is this coach's staff policy on their quarterbacks as far as they recruit? Are they looking to just go and get one or two guys if they're available, if they want to be the guys that they want to bring in? Just how do they evaluate the quarterback position and as far as roster development and roster switching around?
Well, I think for the most part, you do. I think most staffs sign one quarterback each year. Now, if there's a possibility, say Chandler Morris wants to come, which I think there's a good chance of that happening, and then say Haynes Keene from Longview, Texas wants to come, who both of those guys are going to the Elite 11 finals in late June in Dallas. So both of those guys had really good recent outings at a camp. If you know Haynes King wants to come, do you turn him down? I don't think so. You probably go ahead and just take two. I mean, it's just like any position. You may have the philosophy, we'll sign two at this particular position this year. But if a third guy that is a can't miss guy that you it's really high on your board or whatever, you try to make room if you can and go ahead and go with three at whatever position that that kid is at, regardless if you already have the two that you want.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Great stuff as always, Richard. Appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend and looking forward to catching up with you next week. All right.
All right, buddy. We'll see you, buddy.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.